Sam Ackerman in Tauranga, has the stork been at your place quite recently?
Yep, certainly has. Good morning to you, Catherine. We are, we've been blessed with our baby girl, so life is ticking along beautifully, smitten on all accounts from everyone in our bubble, so it's been wonderful.
Oh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
It is very exciting. What a story to tell in the future. And as you mentioned, one of the coronials. So she's stuck with that. The lockdown baby. Hopefully it's the last time she's locked down for a while. I'd like to see her roaming free pretty shortly.
At least till her teens.
Yep. Good idea, actually.
Got to plan ahead, Sam. All right, let's get to the news and I guess the big stuff out of Australia. Gosh, she's held on and held on. She's a really interesting character, isn't she, Raylene Castle? In the end, why did she push the button?
Why wouldn't you? We talked about it last week. I said she was it's a dead duck. This is not a position that's tenable. You can't cop the amount of grief that's gone on here and push forward, given the situation that Australia rugby's in. She referred to in her exit statement saying that that she felt clear air, or it's clear that the board at least thought clear air would be necessary here. And she's right. It was untenable, her situation. And I don't think that's entirely her fault. I don't know. There's been some people say that, I think a lot of the abuse she's copped has been unreasonable. Some of it has been fair because there have been mistakes made along the way, not all of her making. And I think the Israel Folau situation is a very clear one for people that, what do you do when your single most talented person on your football field, who is your most marketable person, you've got to give him as much rope as possible, because without him, when you're already considered by many the fourth of the big four franchises sporting codes, I should say, within Australia. It was a tough situation to be in, and some people say that it's because she was a woman. I think it is just as much to do with the fact that she was a Kiwi. This is not the knives that have been out have been the lack of success in and around Australian rugby. Yes, she had a major part in giving Michael Checker the job for as long as it went, and that was the wrong call, very clearly, the way the results went on the field. But she's not the only one who should be probable and put in the firing line for this. And there will be more exits to go. But why stay? What was the benefit for her in staying? Nothing good can come for Raylene Castle staying in that position. And the person I feel most sorry for is Dave Rennie, the New Zealander who's been put in as the new Wallabies coach. Suddenly the chief executive who hired him before he even gets a chance to coach a game is gone. Thankfully, he's an extremely good coach, and he will be, whoever comes in would be a mug to think anything less than he's a wonderful appointment. But when you've lost the person who probably had your back the most, that's a really tough situation for him. I don't blame Raylene Castle. I would have walked away sooner. And what a genius move, walking away in the middle of the lockdown, because no one can come interview you. You make your statement, you move on.
Well, actually, she did. I read she did a pre-recorded interview, I think, with the ABC or another TV network there. And then, as I've read it, sort of dropped the statement after that. And I'm not quite sure how all that played out. So she did just do an interview, but not one that allowed her to be grilled over a decision she'd just made. She was quoted as saying something on the lines of, you can't let the bastards, to quote her, win. And, that's an interesting insight into a personality as well in some ways. It's what you want from someone on the field, but what you want really from your administrator is the person making the best decision in the circumstances. The other sort of build-up to this was this letter by the 11 former captains, wasn't it? Which is, I think got published, this open letter, with about a week to run. Just really sort of, it's just been feral.
It has been. Feral's a great way of putting it. And the one thing I've got a little bit of umbrage with is that people keep turning this and saying, well, she was bullied. Would we say the same thing if it was a male chief executive who is copping that kind of flack from people? I think that we need that. Raylene Castle fought so hard to be treated as a chief executive, not a woman who is a chief executive. And I think that she had some successes along the way, and she broke a lot of incredible ground in Australia, both with the NRL, with the Bulldogs, and with Australia Rugby. Now, all those stints have ended badly. Guess what? Most CEOs of sporting institutions end their stints badly. That's what happens. You go because there's a bloodletting. Same thing when you're a coach of a sporting team, you're literally waiting to be fired from your job. That's how it works. Very few coaches ride off into the sunset. Same thing with CEOs. It's a brutal sport, and change is usually what forces things around. When something goes badly, it starts from the top and someone loses their job. Someone drops a pass over the try line, chief executive could be under the chop. It's that kind of industry. So she wouldn't want to be given the kid glove treatment. I've had a fair bit to do with Raylene Castle. She's a scrapper. She's a fighter. She wants to be known on her own achievements. And I think that what she's achieved will be recognised in history, but read beautifully put somewhere. The mud that has been flung along the way will take a while to wash off.
And look, nothing's ever absolute. It's neither, you're neither saint nor sinner. There's always somewhere in the middle. I am curious, though, and we might pick up on this another time, about what comes next and what it means. We've touched on it actually a couple of times, Sam, and not only for Australian rugby but for the global game as well, the international game as well. Because look, a big question now is how much do you try and reconstitute global competitions, and how much do you just look to go a bit more local for quite a period of time? And there's so many factors in that, including the money, especially the money.
Absolutely. And, so for example, we talk about the money being over in the UK, England, a lot of the big tests that happen over there at the home nations. If I was in charge of England rugby right now, I would be saying, tell you what, we're going to say no more touring parties for a little while, thanks. We're going to focus on our own backyard and control the situation 100%. How do you do that? You set up a test match with all the former players that are playing within that franchise. So you call it the New Zealand expats, or you call it the exiles, or whatever you want to call it. And they play a quote-unquote test against the England team and probably get thrashed. But they'll be wearing black. There'll be a bunch of New Zealanders it will be considered reasonable not to go, not to bring people to the other side of the world during this time. You get to control all the income, all the gates, if you ever allowed one, but all the television match reviews as well. Makes sense to me, and I would love to see Test rugby and all Test international sport back as soon as possible. But let's be sensible. Let's think that it's will people want to go touring to the other side of the world when a lockdown could happen and they get stuck there? Probably not. I think that a lot of people will be weighing up whether they go on these trips anymore.
Do we have any names? Who was the former Aussie player I mentioned last week? Who's one of the names in the running to take
Phil,
over?
Phil Kearns.
Phil Kearns. He was a hooker, wasn't he? Back in the day.
Yeah, he's a hooker. He's a hooker, a commentator, a loudmouth, and thinks he does know an awful lot. The thing is, though, like most people who are in those situations, he actually does know quite an awful lot, and he does know rugby inside out. He would be well supported, but it's like making somebody who is just a well-known mouthpiece the chief executive, rather than somebody who has the right clout. They're talking about someone there called Peter Wigg, who played for the club rugby. Like, we're not talking Super Rugby level or anything like that. Played club rugby over there. I think he was a mate of Phil Kearns's, and he's owned equity firms and the like. And apparently he's been in a board role for 3 weeks, and he's already come in and put out a couple of the major fires, and is well respected. So they'd be smart to go for somebody who's not up the top there. But yeah, good luck to you. If you want that gig, good luck to you.
Now the NRL, it is on, yeah, for end of May as far as they're concerned.
Yep, and they're talking today is quote-unquote D-Day for finding out what the format will be. Talking about a 22-week competition. It's usually a 25-week competition, and they're obviously going to run later in the year, which will have an impact on where State of Origin is played, which is the big money spinner for the organisations involved, and does fund a lot of what they do. What does that mean for Test Rugby League? Again, even if they're allowed to play matches, because a lot of the players will obviously be based out there. They play international, say, out of the NRL competition, which they do anyway, mostly, of the players who play there. So it's achievable, but when would they be able to play those games? Next year is a League World Cup, so everybody's keen to get tests involved. I certainly know that Kiwis would love to get their team in camp more often this year, looking very unlikely. So a lot of big decisions to make, and will the Warriors be a part of it? That's the key, because getting over there, that's the big question. Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia, and Jacinda Ardern apparently have both kind of hinted that that when there is going to be any loosening of those borders, the first thing will be Australia will allow people from New Zealand to fly in. Now, that would be great for the Warriors. When that happens, how that happens, has a huge bearing on what happens next for the New Zealand franchise.
And is that club having its own issues managerially as well?
It's the chief executive of the NRL has found himself bumped because of, well, not only solely because of, but because of the way he treated the Warriors or reacted to the Warriors. A phone conference, by all reports, where the Warriors are going, what's happening? What's doing? Where is our? We've been asking for this information so we can make a call. With Todd Greenberg, the CEO, is on there, and Peter Vlanders, the chairman of the Australian Rugby League Commission, and Vlanders says, Todd, why haven't you solved this? Are you kidding? Why haven't you done this? Next day, gone. So So the Warriors inadvertently threw him in it, but much like Raylan Castle, writing's on the wall. He was in an untenable situation, and they've had to move.
They'll have a support group, won't they? The Rugby Cross Code CEO's support network.
Goodness. They just end up taking each other's jobs anyway, Catherine. I wouldn't be surprised if Raylan Castle just knocks up and asks for a job with the NRL, or if you wouldn't rule out Todd Greenberg going into the Australian Rugby position because he's got chief executive experience that they need desperately. And then that's how Raylan got the job in the first place as well, because she had run a rugby league club, so rugby loves pinching things off league these days.
Michael Jordan. This downtime in sport, a lot of people have had to turn to that small screen, or the big screen they are these days, and with quite a bit of frustration about the lack of sport, but have one or two gems landed?
Yeah, so if you haven't heard of The Last Dance, then you will soon. It's a 10-part documentary series on basketball called Michael Jordan. May have heard of him. Considered the best of all time. Played for the Chicago Bulls and was an icon. Air Jordan, he sparked... Space Jam. Every part of popular culture he touched and was absolutely massive. This is kind of told in MJ's own words, with supporting cast of those he played with and against. And it's lifting the lids on a few things. There's a general manager who died a few years ago of the Bulls by the name of Jerry Krause, who has just been painted as the bad guy for all the things that went wrong, where he's got no right to reply. That's not sitting particularly easy with some people. And Michael Jordan was not the easiest person to get along with in the world. All the stories about Michael Jordan are pouring out now about how some people actually required a chance to fall out with him to be able to build a relationship with him. He had a bit of a, I'll do it myself, or he had such a high standard he wouldn't allow other people through different parts of his, I'm not going to relate to you. I'm not going to keep you as a teammate. That kind of power that people talk about, fist fights, hating to this day, passionately hating a Pistons team that he felt took the game too far, referring to them, you can't convince me that he's not an a-hole, I think was his exact quote. So there is a lot to take in. And then this is, look, Michael Jordan's a guy that nobody can get enough of. He's still spoken about. Every time that LeBron James plays a good game, Michael Jordan's name gets mentioned, either then he's as good as or not as good as, or whatever you want to say. So he has never left popular culture, which is pretty incredible for a guy who hasn't played basketball in an awful long time.
Couple of quick hits. Joseph Parker, here we are again with many of these sports people in the virtual realm at the moment. He's in the thick of this as well with viral videos.
Yeah, look, Joseph Parker has been considered, people have been talking about in the boxing realm, that his career was kind of was stalled because, he's a lovely guy, but he didn't really have a lot kind of personality, no real kind of draw card to him as far as the international side of things went. We love him in New Zealand, but people were going, besides being good and he hadn't knocked a guy out of any standing for a while, when's he going to get that big fight? Well, during lockdown, this guy is getting an incredible international following for his social media videos, like dancing to Greece. His best one, if you ask me, was the ripoff of Hugh Grant as Prime Minister Love Actually. Dancing.
Did he do the star scene? The stair scene?
The whole dance thing through there. It's hilarious. He's doing some really great stuff, some really good videos, getting big name cameos from other fighters, Eddie Hearn, big promoters over in the UK, Michael Buffer, the Let's Get Ready to Rumble voice guy, dance offs. They did the Time Warp recently. Sean Johnson and Kayla Cullen were on that. He's done all kinds of videos, and they're great. They're very beautifully produced as well by his cameraman associate, Kerry Russell, doing great work. And he is now suddenly being talked about. No one was talking about him beforehand internationally. He is now, and that means when boxing comes back, people go, oh, that guy, I like him. That means I'd want to fight him. He's not just another fighter. He has done more for his career in lockdown than he had in the past 2 years fighting.
Super quick, tennis and golf. Are they prepared to get out on the court and out on the green if no one's watching? It's a bit like a tree falling in the forest, isn't it?
Yeah, but they can be. I would have thought it's one of the easiest sports to play because of social distancing. But apparently, some of the names going, well, there's no one in the stands. I don't want to bother. I mean, a lot of sports are when NRL's pushing ahead, and everyone will watch that closely. But the fact of the matter is, the Rory McIlroys, the Nick Kyrgios has just loves to stir the pot. I think he would have said no to anything that was asked of him. That's just his nature. But they're saying, look, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to play one of those major tournaments with no one watching. It's beside the point. We shouldn't do it till crowds come back. I found that interesting, so I would have thought that they were a sport that, as far as keeping the commercial revenue coming in, would be easy pickings. But no, apparently you can't please everyone, Catherine.
Thank you so much. Congrats again. Really exciting news, Sam, and I hope you're getting lots of sleep in the circumstances, you know, in little bits and pieces. Sam Mackerman is our sports commentator, speaking to us from Tauranga. Brand new baby arrived as well. Which is nice. It's nice to have some good news at this time.